You are listening to a Nerd Room podcast production. We the Nerd. Bunch of nerds.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Nerd. We talk all things Star Wars, Marvel, DC, and beyond. This is episode number 388. We're discussing kind of everything. I'm your host for this evening. It's Tim. I'm going solo in the Nerd Room this week. My good friend and co-host Ian is unfortunately otherwise occupied with real life, job, all of that stuff. But we still want to drop a little episode into the feed this week so you can get your weekly dose of nerd. And this one specifically is going to be different again. Last week, we took a shot at doing something a little bit more original and trying to bring in the intimacy into the podcast and let you guys know a little bit more about us. And I'm going to continue to further dive into that theme and doing a unique take on an AMA, an Ask Me Anything, but produced by AI. Yes, we are embracing the thing that will be our inevitable downfall if we were to listen to Terminator 2 or Terminator in general. Specifically, Terminator 2 is the one that sticks out in my head as being the apocalyptic end of the world as we give too much power to AI. But this week, we are going to hand over some of that power to AI. And I'm going to actually invite AI, artificial intelligence, into the room to provide me with the questions that I am going to ask. So I'm going to type in a sentence or two into ChatGPT. I'm going to ask it to give me 8 questions because that's my favorite number. I'll probably answer 5 of them and see how odd or on point AI can be asking questions here in the Nerd Room. I'm going to frame it up like this. Create an 8-question AMA by AI for Tim, the host of the Nerd Room podcast within the franchises of Star Wars, Marvel, DC, and beyond. So, of course, using our internal moniker here and catchphrase, as you heard at the top of the episodes, to get some interesting questions and see what AI, pulling from all of that public information on the internet, thinks we should be talking about, or I should be talking about, this week. So here it is. It's in ChatGPT now, and we're going to hit go. All right. 8 questions, just like that. Just snappy. And here we go with an AMA, an Ask Me Anything with your host from the Nerd Room Podcast, Tim here. And we're going to be talking about Star Wars, Marvel, DC, and beyond, of course. And I hope you guys are doing well out there. Hope you guys have all gone and seen Dune 2. It's the talk of the town. And we've got so much more coming up here. Maybe a trailer for The Acolyte very soon is being rumored out there. So there's going to be lots of stuff to talk about in the future here. But let's dive a little deeper into some of these and see what AI has produced for me this week. Okay, question number 1 here. In the realm of, and I haven't seen any of these, so forgive me if my answers are horrendous. But in the realm of Star Wars, which character do you think deserves more exploration or development in future projects and why? Okay, so we've been getting a lot of Star Wars content recently, and we've got this very wide breadth of stories that are going to be told in very different timelines. So we're going back a couple hundred years before Phantom Menace. Of course, we're getting the stuff in the Mandoverse, the post-Return of the Jedi, and then we're revisiting Rey and post-Rise of Skywalker saga stories. But which character specifically do I think deserves more exploration? The character that jumps out to me, and we did see him recently in the Obi-Wan Kenobi show, the character that jumps out to me is Qui-Gon Jinn. This is a character that we spent a good amount of time with in Phantom Menace, and Phantom Menace, going back to last week, is a pretty important movie for me. But I would say that he was the one that was diverging from the problems that eventually led to the Jedi downfall. And I would have loved to see his story explored a bit more in, and maybe this is done in books or comics. I think there was a Qui-Gon Jinn comic. But maybe this could be explored in a series or a series of shorts, just looking back on his influence, his connection to Count Dooku, and where his thought process deviated from the norm inside of the Jedi. I think having that juxtaposition against the Jedi way, the High Council, why he wasn't on the High Council, how, why, you know, that's mentioned in The Phantom Menace by Obi-Wan Kenobi. If you'd only align better with the Jedi, you would already be a master sitting on the Jedi Council. Never quite made it there. This term, I know some people don't like it, this idea of gray Jedi. He kind of fell into that space a little bit where he could have potentially saved Anakin Skywalker if he had to live through Phantom Menace in the duel with Darth Maul. So I'd say Obi-Wan Kenobi's master, Qui-Gon Jinn, is probably the character from the series I think it needs more exploration. And I'm thinking this a bit more pragmatically as well, because we're not going to get more, like, we're already getting more Mando and Grogu and exploration inside of the Return of the Jedi or post-Return of the Jedi time frame. We're already going to go way back. So, yeah, Qui-Gon Jinn is going to be the character I think needs more exploration and development in future projects. Now, I'd like that to be Liam Neeson on Disney Plus or a movie. The comic books are great, the books are great, but when it comes to, for me, for impact for or value for my eyeballs or for my attention, it's got to be Disney Plus or a movie. So there's number one. Number two, let's go here. As a host of the Nerd Room podcast, how do you balance discussing mainstream and lesser known aspects of the franchises that you cover to keep your audience more engaged? All right, AI, good question about how we do some of the balancing here. One of the things that we've always wanted to do with the Nerd Room podcast is make it a low barrier for entry so that anyone can jump into the podcast at any point in time and start to take away from it. I think that there's always going to be a level of knowledge that maybe you don't have going into any sort of fandom or niche space or franchise or even sports, right? You jump into the deep end of the NFL, and if you've never experienced it before, there's going to be hurdles to get over. And so there's going to be some work to do, some back work and all that stuff. But we try to drop that down to a point where if you jump on YouTube and watch a trailer, or if you go to the movies and watch a movie, there's already commonality there. There's something that you can do right away. Go to Disney Plus, go to HBO Max, go to wherever, consume what we're talking about. And that gives you that entry point. So we have like a common piece. Like, we maybe you don't have all the history, but at least we have that thread that we can run down. You saw the same thing I did, maybe not from the same perspective, and maybe you didn't like it in the same way, but the idea was always to run and develop a conversation that enhanced the experience of the thing that you just watched. And if you actually go way back in the archives of the Nerd Room, this podcast used to be the Nerd Room podcast, a comic and movie podcast. And we spent a lot of time talking about comic books and kind of some more broad stroke things. And what we eventually did, and this was partly a consequence of me not reading as much comic books or not having the time to do it, and even amongst the co-hosts, we kind of had a pretty wide smattering of what we actually read. We found that that was too big. Like, people weren't always going to the comic book shops, getting the comic books. And so we found that those conversations were getting very, very deep and very, very specific. And it wasn't aligning with the original tension of this being a bridge to a bigger fandom where we could have these conversations. You can engage with them right away through just that simple viewing of a show or a movie. And so we pivoted a long time ago to the Star Wars, Marvel, DC, and beyond, but more in the movie and TV show space, and trying to bring a little bit of enhancement to you guys by talking about the rumors, talking about what's coming next, building hype, breaking down trailers, bringing in that knowledge, but not making it a prerequisite to you listening to us. And so that's how we've always tried to balance the bigger and lesser known aspects of it, is that we try to find common ground first and then add and supplement, bolt onto the side of those discussions, so that you guys are getting an enhanced experience. And then eventually, if you find that we are you know, you've gotten over the bridge and you really want to deep dive into the Marvel comic book universe, you know, we're happy to recommend podcasts or avenues to go, but like, we're never going to deep dive into, at least now going forward, we're never going to deep dive into, you know, X comic book series unless it has a tangible tie to something that's you're going to see on film or on TV. So, you know, in the back in the day, we went through the Civil War comic book Marvel series, the event series, because it had a cool tangible tie. And we talked about the linkage between those, what was done good, what wasn't, how the adaptation might go. And we've done that with some comic book series. And so that, again, is something that you could jump on an app. You could download the single comic book series. Low barrier for entry. We'll break it down. We'll kind of bridge and span that gap between the reading and the consumption on film. But yeah, it's always about finding a common ground, which we always thought was the TV, the movies, because again, low barrier for entry. You can go and watch that one thing and you have something that you can share immediately with us, even if you have never read a Marvel comic book or a DC comic book or this, that, and the other thing. So yeah, it was always about dropping that barrier. That's how we try to kind of bridge the lesser known and the mainstream aspects of it. All right. Question number three. With a vast array of characters in the Marvel Universe, which lesser-known hero or villain would you like to receive their own standalone film or series, and how do you think it could expand the MCU? AI knows me so well. It's like I'm sitting here with an old friend talking about the MCU. Of course, you guys know the MCU is a big, big focus of mine. I absolutely love this stuff, and although turbulence has been a theme over the last little bit, the ebbing and flowing of potential quality, I have still really enjoyed consuming it all. And a character that I would like to see more, or a standalone film or series, I'm going to have to this is going to be part of that last question, is dropping some knowledge that may help you bridge you to something bigger. But the Guardians of the Galaxy and the cosmic side of the universe has always been something that I've really loved. And we've only really touched on it with, of course, the Guardians movies. We get quite a bit of it in Infinity War and Endgame. The Thor movies broach into some of it. But I want something like, I want to get way out into the Marvel cosmic universe. And I think a character to center up around that would be Nova, so Richard Rider. Dick Rider, for all those out there that are old fans of Nova, he's a comic book character that has been present in the Marvel comic book universe for very, very long time. He had a great run in 2007, 2008 for a couple years of comic book series, and I've talked about it sometimes too much on the podcast about the adaptation of the comic book series Annihilation, which is set out in the cosmos. It's about essentially Starship Troopers. It's like Starship Troopers, for lack of a better comparison, inside of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I'd like to see Nova. We saw the Nova Corps, of course, in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1, so there is some tangible ties to history or previous things inside of the MCU. But it's expanding on that character who's got a helmet that he's got all these flying around powers, but it's really just exploring the cosmos of the MCU outside of maybe James Gunn's brain too. You know, James Gunn has played a huge role in facilitating and designing and developing the look and feel of the cosmic side of the MCU. I'd like someone else to take a crack at it, maybe even go a little bit darker with it. You know, bright colors are a theme. We saw that in the Marvels, we saw that in Guardians of the Galaxy. Let's tone this back a little bit. Let's pull on some of the ideas like Alien and some of those 80s, 90s, you know, Independence Day, these type of invasion style of movies, with Nova maybe being the center character around that, you build this around maybe a small team, but it's the exploration of the cosmos I want to see, in the darker side of the cosmos. And I think that can be facilitated through Nova, a character that, you know, at times has been a hit and miss inside of the comics, and James Gunn made it very clear he had no interest in ever developing Nova inside of the cosmic universe. But with him over at DC now, I think it's a fair character to take a stab at. And to really develop the cosmos, you know, TV show jumps out at me, but I think the impact of having a very tight story inside of a 2-hour film might do the content more justice, and maybe having it spread out across 2-3 movies or work its way into some style of event movie and better work in the Skrulls and the Kree. Like, I think they've been really underserved and not done super, super well. Because in the comic books, there's incredible stories there. And I just feel like it's been a bit cartoony. Like, Secret Invasion didn't do the Skrulls any justice. And the Marvels still, I think the Kree just are not represented in the right way. And I think that can be facilitated through a movie there. So that's where I'd like to see it expand then, like how the MCU could expand into the cosmos and centering up around a character called Nova. Just give him a quick Google. You'll recognize the costume from Volume 1. And he's got some pretty cool power sets. And I think they can do a lot with that side of the universe. All right. Where do we want to go here next? Next question. As a fan of both Marvel and DC, how do you approach comparing and contrasting the two franchises, especially when discussing their respective cinematic adaptations? Now, this is an interesting question, AI. Marvel and DC, you know, I'm at heart a Marvel fanboy, and we've always on the podcast tried to make sure that we have a somewhat balanced approach to the likes and, or at least things that we favored. I won't say likes and dislikes. You're always going to have a leaning, Marvel or DC. As much as these things are in competition, it's not about spiteful competition, it's about healthy competition. And so we always try to frame things up where we had a balance on the podcast. That balance has arguably been skewed a little bit towards the Marvel side of things since the departure of Carlos. But going back to the beginnings of the podcast, we always had myself and Sanjay, and Troy kind of played a middle ground. And then Carlos, when Sanjay left, really weighed towards the DC side of things. And so we always had that balanced approach in the sense that there was always someone that was advocating a bit more for their favorite side of the comic book movie cinematic coin. Now, yeah, it's a little bit different, but we do still try to balance those out. And when we're talking about contrasting, sometimes the worst thing we can do is try to compare these two franchises, because it leads to that infighting and that, like I said, spiteful comparison between two, where one is better than the other. I think ultimately when one is succeeding, the other has somewhere to go to match, and then it can do better. And so I think these things have to be looked at to some degree in isolation. We're always going to compare things like box offices for, I guess, a relative gauge on the general audience. We're going to compare the quality of these, and you know, you can see it ebbs and flows. Like, the Sony side of things and Marvel, not great. The MCU has been pretty stellar throughout. The DC EU was kind of hit and miss, and the DCU coming in under James Gunn, there's a lot happening there with the Superman movie and it upping its quality and looking more to developing a true cinematic universe and that. So I'd have to ultimately say the comparison has to be done on a case-by-case basis, and I think we always have to make sure we have that balanced advocate. Like, if we do a big DC movie, we may pull in someone like Zeddy or Carlos to provide that extra piece of insight that isn't leaning more towards the Marvel side. And so I think when the question here is asking, like, how do we deal with, or what's the approach to comparing and contrasting, is making sure that each side has an advocate. And I think that just is good style. All right, next question here. With the recent surge in Disney Plus series like The Mandalorian and WandaVision, what are your thoughts on the future of episodic storytelling within Star Wars and Marvel universes? And how do you think, I'll add DC into that too. And how do you think it would impact the broader storytelling landscape? So this is something that we've talked quite a bit about this in the past. This concept of what Disney Plus and the elevated quality of content that is able to match and in some cases exceed what we're seeing on the big screen, what it has done to the landscapes of the connected storytelling. And so I think the biggest setback in the past with things like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and some of the CW DC stuff is that it always felt like TV. The quality was great for TV. There was always that qualifier on it. And that sometimes comes down to production. it sometimes comes down to having to produce 25 episodes in a season. And so you're playing with a lot of content and you're trying to draw out some of these stories. You're using Freak of the Week in the case of Smallville to a degree. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. suffer from that as well. And then you're also trying to play into something bigger. The advent of the streaming services and them becoming a prominent fixture for TV production and also production inside of these universes kind of changed the game because they threw a ton of money at these things. And I think that ultimately was a bit of its undoing. But the effect, a net effect on these is that, one, we're getting stories that we would have never gotten or would have been something that we got 15 years from now. In the absence of things like Disney Plus, we wouldn't have never gotten Andor. We would have never have gotten WandaVision. We would have never have gotten She-Hulk. Like, and you can argue the quality on some of these things, but ultimately these characters are getting their time to shine inside of the Marvel Cinematic Universe or DC or Star Wars because of this platform. And so I think this platform has allowed us to explore deeper themes, different characters, and actually spend time developing big stories. Ahsoka is another great, great character that we've seen a ton of development in through The Mandalorian and out the backside of Ahsoka, which is eventually going to bleed into the movie. Now, there's some argument to be made that the GA is having a hard time following these things from the big screen to the small screen and then back up to the big screen. Not only is it an investment in time, but you have to know when everything is coming out. That's why you come to the Nerd Room podcast. But you also have to commit that energy to doing all this. And so I think like the implications are on like this episodic piece is that in a scenario where we're getting quality over quantity. So what happened coming out of the back end of 2020, the pandemic, was everyone was at home. Everyone was subscribing to these things. They had hundreds of millions of people tuning in to Disney Plus. They really shifted their model quick to adapt it to fit Disney Plus as a major fixture of all of this. And to do that, they had to leverage their major franchises for content because it was all about putting new content on as fast as possible to keep and then up subscriptions. If you weren't on Disney Plus, you weren't getting your best, the Marvel, Pixar, whatever. And so I think in leveraging those franchises very hard early on, they wore out the GA. There's a new Marvel, there are four new Marvel shows a year, which was asking you to commit upwards of 6 to 8 hours. And then there was three movies a year, which was then asking you another, you know, there's just a lot of time investment. And if you're not into it in the same way as I am, I get that fatigue, you know, as a word that's been thrown around. And so I think that the episodic storytelling, when done right and when done conservatively, can really expand the universe and be highly impactful for these stories. And, you know, Andor, Ahsoka, The Mandalorian, they've created an entire new generation of Star Wars fans through those shows, which are now going to get their adaptations onto the big screen and potentially create an even bigger splash inside of the Star Wars universe. And then again, we got to see characters like Miss Marvel and Wanda get her time to shine, and, you know, Kate Bishop and She-Hulk. And so it also allows for the diversification in a big way of the shows without having to rely on big screen adaptations to bring these characters in. And so ultimately, I think the implications or the impact is that it's adding a lot of depth and breadth to the stories, to the cinematic universes, and not always on the positive side, but I think broadly speaking that they're an asset and they're going to continue to be a major piece of these big cinematic universes and allowing the expansion into different stories, into different styles even. You know, we got to see some horror elements out of Marvel. We got to see some more comedic side of things. We got to see, you know, some more serious stuff. And so I think it allows for that exploration too. So I think they're here to stay, but I do think that they are going to be a lot more conservative with them and how they actually impact the big, broader story, big, broader stories being told on a month-to-month or year-to-year basis. All right. So I'm going to do maybe two more questions here because we're going to be pushing up against half an hour. So I'll do, let's finish this one. Okay. Last question for the AMA with your host, your favorite host, of course, right? In the Nerd Room. How has your perspective on pop culture, comics, and all things nerdy evolved since the inception of the podcast? Ooh, getting deep on me here, AI. Okay. So I've always been a fan of pop culture, whether it was going back to, as we discussed last week, like Jurassic Park and Ghostbusters and TMNT. It's been a fixture of my life for my whole life. Actually, you know what? Go back to the last episode. You can hear how it's impacted my life, specifically three movies here. And how's that changed over the last, like, almost, like, let's call this 9 and a bit years of doing this, almost 10 years of the podcast? I would say that I've become way more engaged, of course, inside of it. I've found myself really leaning into niches where, you know, I admittedly am like big Marvel fanboy and Star Wars, but it's also allowed me to explore different things that I probably, to be honest with you, in the absence of the podcast, would have never really got into the detail. And that's, one is comic books. Like, I was not a big comic book reader prior to the start of the podcast, but then I spent like a solid like 5 or 7 years heavily entrenched in comic book reading, and that just kind of waned for me with timing and other things. And so I probably wouldn't have never gotten to the comic books and had this like awesome foundation of these characters that are now being adapted onto the big screen. Fandom's been an interesting one, like from that perspective, because I've seen it at the highest of highs when we're talking about the release of The Force Awakens. That was a little bit before the podcast, but like the hype going into The Last Jedi, the hype into Infinity War and Endgame. But then I've also seen it turn on its head, like in the wake of The Last Jedi and in the wake of Rise of Skywalker, and in some cases, the last couple of years of the MCU. And so I've seen like a really bitter and ugly side of fandom too. And so what that's changed for me, from a perspective, like since the podcast, having seen a lot of that and having not necessarily been a part of it in as an active participant at times, I find myself avoiding the big debates or making big motherhood statements that can potentially alienate individuals. I'm much more of a, hey, if you like it, great. And if I don't, that's cool too, but I'm not going to make it my mission to make you not like it or make you agree with me. I might ask some questions and we might present this on the podcast, but it's all just for consumption and, you know, generating a different perspective. And I often at times, you can listen to me in a movie review, change my opinion of a movie when I have someone that's passionate about it and that loved it, explain their perspective. And you can see me actively be like, oh, now I see that differently now. And I appreciate that. So that's actually a kind of a cool piece that I've learned to do is maybe listen a little bit better to others' opinions and not be so hard and fast and inside of my opinion, and to allow others to explore that. And that's really kind of the basis of this podcast, is exploration of ideas inside of these universes. And I guess the other thing where my perspective has changed on pop culture is that it, and this is just an extension of what we were just talking about, it can be kind of tough sometimes inside of a franchise if it is on its back foot, if it hasn't produced something that is a mega hit or is, you know, widely beloved by the majority of the GA and fandom. You can find yourself, you know, trying to justify why you like something, and I don't think that should be a case. And so I've kind of seen both sides of it, but I guess ultimately I would say I have really expanded in the things that I'm watching, I'm consuming at the recommendation of friends and the community here in the Nerd Room. And I am much more sympathetic towards things like, you know, you go back in the podcast, and I wasn't overly kind to things like Batman versus Superman. It was in an era of the podcast where everything was a versus. It was the time of Civil War, Batman versus Superman. So it was kind of a theme that was strung through it all. But upon reflection on all that, like, yeah, like it's you like it, cool. And if you don't, that's cool too. So ultimately, at the end of the day, I think my love and passion is definitely amped up from what it was before. But I found myself loving the things I love even more. And then also exploring new ideas. You know, I think that the podcast itself has exposed me, because I'm in the game and I'm always looking at other creators, it's exposed me to so many cool people that are doing awesome stuff, like in Lego or in other franchises that I maybe wouldn't have done the deep exploration into in the past. And so I've been able to do that through watching other creators. And so ultimately, at the end of the day, I think the podcast for me has been not only a huge experience in growth and confidence building and breaking down some of those barriers of opinions and learning to listen and be a better critical thinker at times, it's also allowed me to connect with just like wonderful people. So it's, I don't know if I'm answering this question properly, but ultimately I think my love for nerddom and pop culture has only gone up since the start of the podcast. And I've only immersed myself further and further into it and realized that ultimately at the end of the day, this is a massive way I define myself, both the podcast and through pop culture. And so I just love having it all. And I love having all you guys out there listening to stuff like this, because we always try to do things a little bit differently here in the room. We always have. When everyone's going left, we going right. And it's not always about just doing things different to be different and to disrupt and all that, but it is to give you guys fresh things to consume. And it's also allows us to have fresh and new conversations each and every week. And the repetitive nature of some podcasts out there, it's just not for me. I got to be changing it up every so often. And I'm hoping that you guys are liking what we're bringing to the table here in the Nerd Room and that you've enjoy some of these deviations from the norm. You know, when Ian's back next week or the week after, we'll get back to our run through of some of this comic book movie and Star Wars and all that, some of the news pieces, the Superman stuff that's all been coming out. But we also want to have real conversations with you guys once in a while that are a bit more engaging. And so we'd always appreciate any feedback on these different episodes or the consistency episodes. You can go in and provide that both on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, or you can email us directly at the NerdRM. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at the NerdRM is for both of those as well. And just let us know what you guys are thinking these days. And also if you like kind of these deviations from the norm, because I certainly enjoy recording them, and I'm hoping you guys are taking a little bit away from these and learning a little bit more about both Ian and I as we develop these episodes and as we push closer to episode number 400, which is going to be quite a cool and awesome feat inside of the Nerd Room here. So I'd like to thank each and every one of you for coming back every week. And if it's your first time, welcome to the Nerd Room. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I hope you come back next week and listen to us talk more about Star Wars, Marvel, DC, and beyond. But with all that being said, for the Nerd Room, I'm Tim, and thank you so much for entering the Nerd Room.